Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stogies and Beer, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the late night dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Stogies and Beer is broadcast live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:04 a.m. Weather in San Diego is cloudy. And we're looking at flooding today because we have a rainstorm, a winter rainstorm coming through the West Coast. So anyway, let's get off into it, everybody. Good morning to everybody tuning in live around the globe. Topic for today is Saints fall. Saints fall in the Monday Night Football thriller against the Ravens. The host and the number one sports contributor to the show do battle in front of a live global listening audience regarding results from Monday Night Football game, Saints versus Ravens, fireworks expected in this episode. The other topics covered will be NCAA opening night, men's and women's, and HBCU teams versus blue chip Division I universities in basketball, NBA action, and NHL scores. So I want to apologize to the female basketball players, the women's basketball players. out there that I didn't know that it was opening night for the men's and women's team, so I didn't put that in my topic. I just said NCAA men's, but it's NCAA men's opening night, and we want to talk about HBCU teams that went up against blue chip Division I universities. So, yeah. But the biggest thing is, you know, Saints fall in a Monday Night Football thriller against the Ravens. That's our topic today. I'm just waiting. At 15 minutes into this first hour, supposed to have our number one sports contributor to the show, DC, calling in. DC out of Maryland, out of Baltimore, Maryland. He wants to call in to talk about the doggone Baltimore Ravens taking down my New Orleans Saints. Like I said in my pre-show post. I said that game last night was, if you follow boxing, and even if you don't, you can go and check the link on my thread. The game last night kind of reminded me of Roberto Duran fighting against Marvin Hagler. You know, no matter what Roberto Duran tried to do in that 15th round, Marvin Hagler was able to counter it. He was able to walk through it. He was able to still walk Roberto Duran down. Roberto Duran was competitive in that 15th round. He was firing back, but no matter what he tried to pull, Marvin Hagler had already planned for it. He was ready for it. He planned for it. Same way the game went last night on Monday Night Football with the Saints fighting against the Baltimore Ravens. You know, I took the time last night to make some posts about the game. You know, anytime I see the Saints, if I'm in a good location, I'll try to do that to make the show more entertaining, give it the entertaining value. Me on live video, trying to boast up, hype up the whole situation with, you know, what's going on during live action. My brother, he was down in New Orleans last night at the Superdome. On-site scout for me, on-site reporting, scouting, letting me know what's going on with the Saints out there, letting me know what's going on in the atmosphere that he was in the Superdome live. But, you know, he wound up leaving the game early before traffic hit, you know, probably about, I think he said, like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He seen that we weren't going to pull it off, so he just went on and took off. I hung in there and watched the whole game to the end. Pop me a beer, smoke me a stogie, and everything like that. You know, I got all that on video. If you want to just go through my takes and everything, you know, pregame, all the way up and, you know, and up in each quarter up until the end. So pretty entertaining value I put out there yesterday. And I also sent those links to DC, so we'll get off into that just to kind of like see where his head was as I was doing my posting. But, yeah, we fell last night. You know, the Saints, we fell last night. Hopefully everybody didn't get lit up too much last night out of frustration, because we got to get out and vote this morning. Thank God I already put in my ballot, because I stayed up a little late last night, longer than I wanted to. But, yeah, I put in my ballot a couple of days ago over the weekend to make sure that they picked it up by yesterday, and it got postmarked by today. So I'm in the clear. I was able to sit back and take the game in, you know, kind of get my head right while we was, you know, out there on the field competing. But Saints fail. Saints fall to the Baltimore Ravens in a Monday Night Thriller, and it was a thriller. You know, the score doesn't – 27-13 doesn't do the game any justice, because the Saints, every time we got in the red zone, we missed two red zone opportunities. I think one at the end of the second quarter. Two opportunities to score at the end of the second quarter. So I just say that should at least been one touchdown. Then we got to the red zone another time, and I don't know if we fumbled or what. I can't remember what happened. If we fumbled through a pick, I can't even remember. I don't think it was a pick. I think it might have been a fumble or something. Something happened. But, you know, we got in the red zone multiple times, but I got to give it to the Baltimore Ravens defense. They stood. They stood tall. They was like, no. Every time we tried to come with something, they just kept saying no. They kept saying no. They said no. You know, it just, you know, and I hate it, because I got to hear DC come on the show in about 7 minutes or so and talk about those doggone Ravens, how great they are, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. I got to hear his mouth this morning, but I'm going to just go and suck it up. But he's still going to get treated like a hostile witness. Because, like I told him before, you know, you guys went out and got Roquan Smith all game planning for the play the Saints on Monday night. I hate the fact that Lamar Jackson threw his 100 career touchdown, I think it was, 100 career touchdown, and he got that in the Superdome, you know. So I'm just, I ain't happy about it all. You know, his 100 career, it got to be the 100 career touchdown because I doubt if it was 100 career pass. Of course, he threw more than 100 passes since he's been in the league. So I believe it was his 100 career touchdown. Yeah, I just hate it when the Saints are on the other side of history. You know, and for some reason, this franchise over the years since the 60s has always been that team to where if you needed to get healthy, you play the Saints. If you needed to get that victory for a moral boost, you play the Saints. If you need to set a record, you play the Saints. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of it. We've just always been that team where, you know, on the other side of history, you know, we're always right there available to give a team, a stat for the history books. It just pisses me off. But we failed last night. I just feel like that we should have had a three quarterback system. We should have had Andy Dalton as a starter. Rotate Jameis Winston in there just a little bit to get the ball. You know, he likes to throw it all the way downfield. You know, use him when we want to go downfield and throw a strike. And then, you know, still preserve Andy Dalton so he don't get too beat up because he took some shots last night. Then we had then we still had Taysom Hill, who I thought should have stayed in there when he was providing the spark, leave him in there to provide that spark, because there's certain parts of the game we was going to need him. When Lamar Jackson started shaking and baking and doing what he do, we should have had Taysom Hill right in there to respond to that. Meaning just like, whatever they did, we should have been able to counteract it. If they want to go downfield, we got a man to go downfield. They want to throw it underneath, we got a man to throw it underneath. They want to, you know, run pass option, we had Taysom Hill. We should have just ran a three-quarterback system. No matter what they did, we should have mimicked it with the three quarterbacks that we have. Each one of those quarterbacks have a special, unique talent, and we should have just been rotating them in and out. It took confuse the Baltimore defense to confuse them. They wouldn't have knew what to deal with. But, of course, you know, the traditional thinking, go with the starter. That's why everybody got to take reps in practice. Everybody got to take reps with the ones. I think that's so stupid. Everybody got to take reps with the ones. So anytime you need to get out there with the ones, you prepare. You're prepared to be out there. Anyway, it's crazy. It's a gloomy day here in San Diego, and I feel gloomy. I hate it when the Saints lose. The day after a Saints loss is always a bad day for me. When the Saints win, you walk around with your chest out, your head up high, chin up. But we fell. We fell last night. We fell last night to the Ravens. So we was out there last night trying to fight to be in first place. You know, tied for first. We still remain in third. I mean, the way everything went down this weekend, with the Falcons losing to the Chargers, Tampa Bay beating the Rams. I wish the Rams would have done us a favor and beat Tampa. That way, we could have been tied with Tampa for second place. But you know, it's a two-way tie at the top with Tampa. And the Atlanta Falcons, I think they're both 4-5. And then we're 3-5, or 3-6 now. We're 3-6, you know, because we failed last night. So we're still currently at third place, and behind us is the Carolina Panthers at 2-7. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we was trying to fight. But right now we're going to focus on our division. We're going to just focus on our division, focus on winning our division. And it's just, we're not going to worry about nothing that's going on outside our division. The only thing we're worried about is division wins. Interleague play, and all that stuff, interconference play, all that stuff, we're going to use those as tune-ups. Like last night was a teaching moment. You know, we got in there with a tough team. That's a Super Bowl contender, the way they played last night. Baltimore's defense, Baltimore's running game, and the way Lamar Jackson participated last night as a quarterback, not so much as a runner. He had his moments when he took off. But I'm going to be honest with you. You know, our game plan, the defense done its job. The offense just couldn't convert. The defense done its job. They contained, they set the edge. They contained, they didn't let Lamar Jackson get out on the edge and take off. If he took off, he had to take off up the middle. You know, but the blocking, the off, you know, the blocking from their off, their superb offensive line, which they're saying, the experts are saying that's the second best offensive line in the National Football League currently, and they can run the ball behind that big offensive line. They're big, they're athletic, they're strong, they're quick. So, you know, we were just in there with a better team. Our center went down. We had to bring in, I think, our rookie center that we drafted last year, I believe. Brought him in, but that center that we brought in, the rookie Ruiz, he actually did a good job. I think he should be starting because he actually did a good, damn good job. I think he earned a starting job last night because he didn't mess up much. I don't recall him messing up too much. I like him, but our starting center went down. Rookie center had to come in. Came in the game with like three or four injuries on offense, three or four injuries on defense. Our primary weapon. Michael Thomas, he's out again. You know, I think he's going to be trade bait. I mean, he cannot stay healthy. And I hate that because I like Michael Thomas. I even got to let him go. But, you know, since we don't have that primary weapon to throw to, and all we got is Alvin Kamara, pretty much Alvin Kamara running back, Mark Ingram's out. We don't have a big running back. What we need is a fullback. That's what I like about the Baltimore Ravens. They got a big fullback that can block, run, and catch. Their big fullback, number 42, I believe he is. I mean, I give them credit. I mean, we just got beat by a better team last night. I don't like the fact that they traded for Roquan Swift right before they played us. I don't like that fact. But I guess you got to do what you got to do because it is a trade deadline. I just don't like the fact that they did it. I don't like the fact that, you know, they're putting up there last night. You know, that they hiring in Ozzie Perlman, the Wizard of Oz, whatever he is. You know, he's some mentalist trying to help them read people's mind and all this here craziness nonsense. But I guess it worked. I guess the sorcery they used worked against us. I guess they was able to read our mind throughout the whole game. But it is what it is. They beat us. But we'll get off into some more of this Monday Night Football stuff throughout the show, especially when DC calls in from Maryland. We'll get off into some more so we can hear him gloat about how Baltimore beat us. But it was the score 27-13 does not give the Monday Night Football game a realistic outlook on the game, because we really could have been 27-20 easily. If we'd have converted in the red zone that game, if we was going to lose the game, I've seen us losing 27-20 how many times we got in the red zone and couldn't convert. If we could have just converted in the red zone, it could have been about 27-20. But at the same time, Lamar Jackson had a couple more opportunities to also convert in the red zone, which they missed on two dudes. So they could have put up another 14 points themselves. So could have, would have, should have, didn't. 27-13. I really wanted to just at least get one more touchdown in there to make it respectable. I mean, but it was a hell of a game. It was action throughout the game because the Saints always had a chance. That's why the game was a thriller, because the Saints, no matter what, they had a chance. Defense did their job. Lamar Jackson, I mean, they scored, but they didn't just, like, run all over. It's like, oh, it's going to be a 45-50-point night. It wasn't none of that. They set the edge. They contained Lamar Jackson for the most part. They got to Lamar Jackson a couple times, too. I think he got sacked at least twice. I think we had about two sacks, maybe four. We got to him a couple times behind the line of scrimmage. But, you know, if you want to call in and debate me on that or correct me on anything, call in area code 515-602-9687. It's area code 515-602-9687 if you want to call into the show and debate me. In other news, the Lakers dropped another one last night to the Utah Jazz. LeBron James didn't play last night, so it was the burden laid upon Russell Westbrook and AD. They didn't do well. They pretty much got beat pretty good. I think like about 139 to 116, something like that. I'll let you know the correct score when it comes back up on my monitor. But Lakers fall. LeBron James sore foot soreness, foot infection. You know, I guess somebody stepped on his foot the other night, so he's out. I don't know how many days they say he's going to be out, but knowing the King, he'll be back in a matter of 2 to 4 games. You know, when you're a little bit older, you got to take care of your body. Body doesn't heal as quick as it do as some of these young guys. So, he's going to probably have to sit out, rest that foot up, soak that foot in some ice, and kind of like go from there. So with all that being said, again, sad day for me and from this Monday Night Football game. I really ain't too happy today. You know, I've been upset since Sunday when the Rams didn't take care of business for us. Chargers done their part, beating them the Falcons. The Rams failed, and that Tampa Bay win, at the last seconds of the game. We didn't come through last night to help our own cause, we just needed some help from some other teams, help from a few other teams to just put us in that first place spot or at least tie for second place. But we currently sit in the NFC South in third place, and we just got to hunker down and play for our division. I was talking to my younger brother, the one that was at the game last night. He said the way our schedule set up right now, we can come out with at least 3 wins in the next 5 games. We can come out with at least 3 wins out of that. So if we already got 3, so that puts us at 6. But we're gonna have to gut some stuff out because we in this division, whoever wins 9 games is going in. Whoever winning going in at 9 and 8, we can win. But we get to a point where with already 6 losses, 3-6, we can't afford to lose 3 more games. We can't afford to lose 3 more, because that's going to put us at what? That's going to put us at, 6-3, 9 losses. That'll put us at 8-9. We can't be 8-9. We got to be 9-8. So, yeah, we in trouble. We in trouble. Like I said last night, as I was doing my live post event during the game, as I said last night, we was in trouble. We was on the ropes. We cut. We bleeding, and we still in trouble. We're on the ropes. We're cut. We're bleeding. We've been knocked down, but just like in the game last night, we kept getting back up. No matter what Baltimore did, we kept getting back up. We kept coming at them. It was like a Rocky movie. How Apollo Creed beat up on Rocky and Rocky won, and he was like, man, this guy keeps coming. I know Baltimore was just like, these guys ain't letting up. No matter what we do, they keep on playing. They keep fighting. They keep trying. And, we fought all the way up until, I guess, maybe about the 2-minute warning, because at that time it was just pretty much done. Baltimore was running the ball, running out the clock. There wasn't much we could do. We had gave it all. And then, defense can only last so long. The defense stayed out there. Baltimore kept our defense on the field. They kept that defense out there on the field, just running the ball, wearing us down, throwing the ball underneath, running the ball, wearing us down. They kept our defense on the field. And you can't win games with a tired defense. Offense, 3-and-out. Offense, 3-and-out. So many 3-and-outs. Sometimes we'll get a little hot streak and convert. But we just didn't run. We didn't game plan offensively better for them. We should have been running all 3 quarterbacks. I'm sorry. And if you ain't gonna run all 3 quarterbacks, you might as well just left Taysom Hill in there and let him start the game, and be done and see what he could have did the whole game as a starter if you wasn't gonna play all 3 guys. I say play all 3 guys because you got Jameis Winston with long ball accuracy. You got Andy Dalton with all around accuracy, and then you got Taysom Hill, athlete, gadget player. He can play. He could have been out there on the field at so many different positions, like they did try to use him, but he should have been out there more as quarterback, or else should have just used him as a starter this week for this type of game, because we needed a guy that no matter what Lamar Jackson did, we needed a guy that could just basically counter him. Every time he did it, we do it. Whatever they do, we do. Whatever they do, we do. You know, we should just follow their script. Whatever they do, we do. But we almost kind of like got into a position where we just had to take what they was giving us. You know, they wouldn't give whatever they gave us, which wasn't much on offense, whatever their defense gave us, which wasn't much. We tried to take that and work with it, but that's not always the best formula. Sometimes you got to make a defense bend. You got to punish them. You got to make them bend. Roquan Smith, he did show that he was able to catch up with Alvin Kamara in some cases. You know, he played a good game last night. Surprised that he was able to pick up the playbook, their playbook so fast within a week, you know. But, you know, like DC did say, you know, it's all, you know, when you're a linebacker, it's all about making tackles. So it ain't really, you know, line up where you're supposed to line up and make tackles. So anyway, you know, hey, they won. With that being said, we're going to go off into some music and everything like that and take a station break. But we'll be back. Stand by. This is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you early in the morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer Radio Show is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport they love the most. When we get back, we're going to get up into some NCAA men's and women's action, and we'll get off into some more NBA scores and everything like that. But stand by, everybody. We're going to go off into our music mix so the Late Night Dog can take a quick break. Hello, and welcome back to the Stokers of Bay Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Fran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers of Bay Radio Show, broadcasting live, WBESC, Chula Vista, California. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. It is 64 degrees Fahrenheit and cloudy in San Diego, California, mostly cloudy. It is 8:31 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's raining on and off in San Diego, California. It's a gloomy day, and it's a gloomy day for me as well because the Saints fell last night in a Monday Night Football thriller against the Baltimore Ravens. Again, like I said, the Saints, we fought hard last night. We fought hard last night, but we fell in a thriller. The score doesn't do it justice. 27-13 doesn't do it justice because the Saints was dangerous throughout the whole game, but Baltimore was just a better team, better defense, better offensive line, better running game. Better quarterback, you know, Lamar Jackson outplayed Andy Dalton. That Baltimore defense, they were stout. They stood tall. I'm gonna be honest, Baltimore looks the way they played last night, looks like a Super Bowl contender, on the flip side of that, you know, the Saints always, you know, in down years, we always make people look like a Super Bowl contender when they come in and play us. I want to see what Baltimore looks like in division against Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and against the Cleveland Browns, who's always dangerous. I want to see what they look like in division, in that tough division they got. Because right now I think they might be a game up on Cincinnati or tied with Cincinnati. But at the end of the day, they still got to deal with Joe Burrow. You know, you might have came in and done a job on Andy Dalton. You might have did a job on Andy, who's to his defense. Like he said, he's never been in one system. It seemed like every year in the league, they said he's been through six different coordinators. He hasn't been in one system since he's been in the league. Every time you turn around, he's in another system. So he hadn't been in a stable sit for a minute so we can just get our offense down. But anyway, if you'd like to call into the show and debate anything I'm saying or correct anything I'm saying, call in the 515-602-9687. Again, call in the 515-602-9687. They're saying across the monitor, Dallas Cowboys, favorite -5 against the Packers. That's going to be 125. Pacific time on Sunday, 4:25 East Coast time on Sunday. They're trying to say Mike McCarthy gonna be fired up to get back to Green Bay, back to Lambeau Field where he got fired, and I believe Aaron Rodgers wanted him out of there after a while. I think they got him out of there back in 2018-ish, somewhere in there. So yeah, he's been gone for a minute, but they was asking, was he going to be fired up to get back out to Lambeau Field? Looked like McCarthy saying, yeah, he want to win that game. And they're trying to see if the Cowboys are going to pull out a big win for their coach. If the Cowboys can pull out a big win for the coach. Well, I don't know. First of all, it's Lambeau Field, and it's probably getting cold up there by now in Wisconsin. At the same time, Aaron Rodgers is hungry. Aaron Rodgers played a damn good game against the Buffalo Bills. But he didn't play so well against the Lions. But at the same time, you know, the Lions are hungry. They're a dangerous team. You know, they can't pull out a win, but they're dangerous. They're always dangerous. But they pulled out a win against the Packers. So I think that Aaron Rodgers, you know, is going to come out this week. He's going to want that back. And, you know, and when Big D come into town, and I think there was the first Super Bowl, if I'm correct, Dallas and the Packers. Calling into the show, if I'm incorrect, you know, they've been showing on the monitor that they had a historic championship game back in the day. Maybe it might have just been for the NFC championship because these are both two NFC teams. So it might have just been a NFC championship, but they could have just been showing notes on past games between the Packers and the Cowboys, you know, probably back in the day where Bart Starr was playing. And Roger Staubach and all of them, but it's a historic rivalry game. I even remember when Brett Favre was playing Dallas when they had, you know, Troy Aikman, if I'm correct. That's when Dallas was really good and Green Bay was starting to try to come on. They had Reggie White on defense at that time. So those are always some good games back in the 90s, Cowboys and the Packers, and it's probably going to be fireworks as well this time. In NHL news, we got Wilds at the King tonight, Minnesota Wild at the LA Kings tonight, 10:30 Eastern. And so the Wild coming to town to LA, and they're playing. Men's basketball action, Memphis 76, Vanderbilt 67. Memphis 76, Vanderbilt 67. Just rattling off some scores as they come across the line. Texas A&M Commerce 60, SMU 77. Texas A&M Commerce 60, SMU 77. University of Maryland, Baltimore County 67, Tulane 89. UMBC 67, Tulane 89. Tulsa 70, Oregon State 73. Tulsa 70, Oregon State 73, Northern Arizona 55, Michigan State 73, Northern Arizona 55, Michigan State 73. Just rattling off NCAA men's action, Columbia 35, Rutgers 75 in a blowout. Columbia 35, Rutgers 75. Pacific 78, Stanford 88. Pacific 78, Stanford 88. Again, rattling off NCAA men's scores. Pacific 78, Stanford 88. NCAA Tarleton State 59, Arizona State 62. Tarleton State 59, Arizona State 62. Texas State 61, Washington State 83. Texas State 61, Washington State 83. UC Riverside 66, Colorado 82. UC Riverside 66, Colorado 82. Florida Gulf Coast 74, USC 61. Whoa, that was an upset. Florida Gulf Coast upsets USC. Weber State 52, Washington 69. Weber State 52, Washington 69. Long Island 48, Utah 89. Long Island gets blown out by Utah 48-89. Utah takes it. UC Davis 75, Cal 65. Another upset. UC Davis 75, Cal 65. I guess Aaron Rodgers ain't happy about that. So, yeah, Major League Baseball finalists announced for MVP Cy Young. Alvarez, Judge, Arenado, Goldschmidt, Machado. Finalists announced for MVP Cy Young Award. Cease, Manoa, Verlander. All these guys are in each league. Alcantara, Freed, Urias for the MVP Cy Young Award. Finalists are announced. This is in Major League Baseball. Cy Young Awards to be announced November the 16th. MVP Awards November the 7th. Cy Young Awards to be announced November 16th. Yankees exercise Luis Severino's $15 million option. Two-time All-Star went 7-3. Yankees exercise his option. White Sox pick up Tim Anderson's option. White Sox picks up Tim Anderson's option. Just telling you things that's coming across the wire. Just want to make sure I'm covering all sports. Rockies make Hensley Mullins hitting coach. Rockies make Hensley Mullins the hitting coach. Looked like he was the assistant for the Yankees. Odds set for December's draft lottery. Odds are set now for December's draft lottery. Got different teams that they're saying, you know, we'll go back into that there. I'm just giving you news coming across the wire from Major League Baseball. Again, the odds are set for December's draft lottery. Lottery will determine the order of the top six picks in the draft. In NBA news, we got the Knicks at the Nets. Knicks at the Nets Wednesday night, 7:30 Eastern. Knicks at the Nets Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern. Still in Major League Baseball, Phillies exercise Aaron Nola, $16 million option. Phillies exercise Aaron Nola, $60 million option. Rizzo opts out of a deal with the Yankees. Rizzo opts out of a deal with the Yankees. Just more Major League Baseball news coming across the wire. But also come across the wire back in NBA news on the monitor. Some of the experts are saying they would trade LeBron and Anthony Davis. Amid a 2-8 start, Darvin Ham vows turnaround coming for the Lakers. Some of the media experts out there saying that they would trade LeBron and Anthony Davis. I don't know about that. I don't know about that, people. You know, they just got to let the Lakers keep developing. I mean, it just, you know, they're I believe, still one of the oldest rosters in the league. Still one of the oldest rosters in the league. I just say leave them alone, let them develop. Headed overseas, Dwight Howard signs with a team in Taiwan to continue his basketball career. Have we seen the last of the eight-time All-Star in the NBA? Again, Dwight Howard signs with the team in Taiwan to continue his basketball career. I think it's a great move for Dwight Howard. If he's playing for some money, playing for the love of the game, you know, have, you know, his conciliatory years to where he can go and be dominant in the league, to where he can just be a dominant big man, a star attraction, get paid some decent money, probably not NBA money, but some decent money. But the thing about it is I just hope that he's not going over there with no cannabis, no prescription drugs that they don't want over there. I'm just saying that we got to understand that you can't do what you do in America. If you get caught in America with some stuff, sometimes it's a slap on the wrist, especially when you're a big star. But at the same time, it's like you don't want to be in the Brittany Griner situation, to where you're used to doing certain things here, and then you know, okay, I'll get a prescription for certain stuff over here, and then just because I got this prescription for certain things over here, I'm expected that the Taiwanese government is going to kind of like tap me on the hand. You know, I hate saying this, but I mean, if you're a black man or a black woman in America, and you're already hated, what do you think they think about you overseas? I don't think it's one country besides Africa, and that's probably 60-40. Because sometimes they don't like Americans, American blacks. So, you know, black Americans, we're just hated, in my opinion, all around the world. Now, you can call in and argue that. You're more than welcome to. Just call in to the show, me or debate me on that issue. I just feel like African Americans are just hated worldwide. And if you want to call and debate that, 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. And I'm saying this to comment on Dwight Howard heading overseas to play in Taiwan. I just hope that, you know, he knows what he's doing. Go over there, know their rules, always have an official with you, and I would have the police with me at all times, a cop with me at all times, just to make sure I understand the rules. You can't do this, you can't do that, and for protection against for protection in case I make a mistake and do something, I would befriend the police, at least, and especially some high-ranking officials. I wouldn't go over there and just be like, okay, I'm over here playing basketball, like how Brittany Griner, she was over there just playing basketball. I think her management team should have been like, no, we need to make a liaison with. When you move with the police. When you move, you got a security detail with you, you know, at your quarters to remind you these are the rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. I would befriend high-ranking officials to make sure I'm safe and I can move back and forward about. I would make sure that I'm doing all kind of stuff in the community with the kids, teaching them the game, and I would just be a figure in the community and a friend of the government, because – you know, you got to make sure if you're going to play ball overseas that you can get back home. You got to make sure you can get back home. But, you know, with that being said, good luck to Dwight Howard going overseas. Maybe he'll go over there and be a megastar like Stephon Marbury when he went over there in China. He's, you know, he's like a megastar there in China, and I think he still lives in China. I think he just likes it there better than being in the United States. Not to say that he don't come home, because I do believe he do travel home and still work out here with some of the players, but I think that, you know, he just made another life for himself in another country. You know, I hadn't done, it's been a minute, some years since I followed up on his story, but he went over there, looked like everything working well for him. I just, you know, wish Dwight Howard luck, but I hope he protects himself, because I just really wouldn't want to see him locked down in a Taiwan prison camp. And again, you know, we're black men are hated a lot in this country. And, you know, they're hating us in this country a lot. You know they're hating you abroad. So with that being said, hopefully he uses the money that he's made to get him a high-level security detail, make friends with the government, so if anything arises, you know, it's going to be kind of like ignored, you know, kind of like how Dennis Rodman, he can go overseas to North Korea. He can go overseas to North Korea and hang out with Kim Jong-il. And all those guys, hopefully I'm saying his name right. I don't want to misspelled the dictators in North Korea's name incorrectly. Kim Jong-un, I forgot how to say it, but anyway, you know who I'm talking about. Dennis Rodman, he goes over there and he, you know, plays basketball with the dictator of the whole nation. You know, they want to play ball together. So, you know, he could probably go over there and something might happen with him and he could just be like, "Oh, man, don't worry about it. Get, you know, you all right. You know, no big deal." But that's the kind of relationship you got to have with foreign governments, foreign dignitaries. You got to have that kind of relationship. And Dennis Rodman, he's one of the ones that can go over there and talk to people because for whatever reason, people, you know, people like to talk to Dennis Rodman. He's a wild guy. You know, people like to talk to him. Shout outs to Dennis Rodman. And I think he was trying to go over there and talk to Russia and get Brittany Griner out. I don't know if he has to get permission from the State Department and all of that. You know, they probably don't want him to go over there and get mixed up in it, but I think that he has a great reputation in making things happen. Maybe he can go over there and play a basketball game with Putin or something like that and Putin's staff and maybe get them to, you know, go ahead on and release Brittany Griner. You never know. Sometimes you got to think outside the box. But everybody pray for Brittany Griner's release soon. Hopefully she can get back soon. But I just say all this to say that American athletes is going overseas to play ball in the off season, especially the women, because they have to do it because the WNBA doesn't pay enough. So they have to go overseas and play automatically. They have to go over there and get that bag. But when you go over there and get that bag, just make sure that you're following their laws to a T. Make sure you got some friends in government and in your local police force. You know, you just got to have it. And I'm saying that for all the players, to be honest, not just the black, definitely the black players, black men and women playing overseas, but even other nationalities, that if you ain't from there and you got to go there and play, make sure you got protection. You know, in making friends in your local police force, the community, and the government. Because you're not in America. You're invited to these countries to play ball and make a living. You better know their laws, and you better have some friends. With that being said, it's 8:48 a.m. Pacific Coast time. It's raining on and off here in San Diego, California. Gloomy day, cloudy day, windy day. But, you know, can't be sunshine all the time. And the song "It Never Rains in Southern California," that's slightly untrue because it does rain here sometimes. But anyway, let's get back off into some more music mix. We'll be back. This is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I'm your host, the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. And we're going to get off into our music mix and everything, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. You know, stuff coming across the monitor today, they're saying that the Panthers are going to keep Baker Mayfield on the bench in favor of P.J. Walker. You know, they're calling Baker Mayfield now the QB2. I don't know why they'd be keeping him on the bench. They got to be paying him a lot of money. They took a hit bringing him over, you know, to come in the first place because the Cleveland Browns owed him a lot of money. But you know, they're saying that across the monitor, are we surprised that Carolina's keeping Baker Mayfield on the bench? I'm not. You know, it is what it is with that. Got to go with the hot hand, and P.J. Walker is a hot hand. Former player for the poker had a little slip of the hand there on my mixing board. Sorry about that. But things happen on these shows. That's why I got to get me an audio director so he can handle this music mix while I'm talking. But anyway, we got on the line in queue our number one sports contributor, D.C. out of Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm going to be straight up, you know, it's a gloomy day in San Diego. It's raining on and off. And it's a gloomy day inside my spirit because the Saints fell. Saints fall in a Monday night thriller against the Ravens. You know, so that's the topic of the show today for those of you just tuning in. We're about to get off into this debate, myself versus DC, our number one sports contributor. On the show. But I will say the University of Baltimore, Maryland County, lost last night in basketball and men's action to Tulsa. So that I feel good about that. So at least, you know, hopefully he felt some pain when he seen that Baltimore County lost against Tulsa in basketball. Hopefully that puts a little bit of diminishing effect on some shade on this win last night on Monday Night Football. But I'll say this here before you come on the show, sir. I'll say, part of me was hoping that you didn't show up. Part of me was hoping, I was like, he must have got tied up. We ain't going to have to even talk about this game. You know, he decided he had other things to do. The win was good enough. He didn't need to come on the show. I was kind of like keeping my fingers crossed that you wasn't going to show up today. But you're here nevertheless. So, I just feel like I told you before, man, and I'm going to bring you in the queue, but I feel like I told you before, DC, that you guys game plan, you went out, you went got Roquan Smith just to win this game. You guys wanted to try to come to the Dome and make a statement in the Dome. You know, I will say that my team, defensively, we did our job, but we just couldn't get – defensively, we couldn't get off the football field. You guys wouldn't let us get off the football field. Kept getting first down. Kept running the ball. We did contain him, Lamar Jackson. We contained him as much as we could. I hate that he got his 100 career touchdown in the Dome and all that stuff. But you guys won. Y'all won, but, you know, I don't like the way you did it. You guys, you know, doing all kind of crazy stuff, getting mentalists and all this stuff. Oz Perlman teaching you guys mind reading tricks. So I guess y'all was able to read Andy Dalton's mind, trying to figure out. You guys already knew what he was going to do because you went out, cheated, got a mentalist to show you how to do mind reading techniques and all kind of stuff. You went and got Roquan Smith. I mean, I don't like the way you guys won. I'm gonna give you credit for winning. But I don't like the way you won. But anyway, good morning, sir. Good morning. What do you have to say for yourself? Good morning.
Hello?
Good morning. Good morning.
So, good morning. Good morning. So it's funny you say it's gloomy and raining on and off in San Diego because here in Baltimore, the weather is nice. It is 70-some-odd degrees, which is unusual in November. It is sunny. It feels like a nice, pretty spring day. Folks are out cutting their grass and raking leaves with smiles on their face.
Yeah.
So it's funny how one end of the country is doom and gloom and the other one is bright and shiny. So yes. But no, I'll tell you this. Nothing happened yesterday that did not surprise me. Lamar missed a couple of wide open throws that would have made the score as I had predicted, but he missed some wide open throws. He even admitted it in the post-game interview how he missed some easy throws, and that's because of his skills as a quarterback. But it doesn't surprise me. You guys' problem is just quite simple. Your quarterback. You need a new quarterback. Andy Dalton is not it. He's a stopgap. And I thought given the brother you guys got a chance to redeem himself from his Tampa Bay days was a smart move. But, you know, because with you guys' defense, it was a smart move, but he proved that he's just not that guy. And it boils down to you guys just need a new quarterback. You're offensively, you guys got weapons, man. You need to move on from Michael Thomas. That guy boned you. He boned you. He waited till April to announce he was going to have surgery, literally right after the draft. He boned the franchise. If you knew at the end of the season, this was a couple of seasons ago. We know it wasn't this season. It was a couple of seasons ago. Michael Thomas knew he needed surgery. He was contemplating it. He waited until after the draft. If you're looking out for the franchise, you don't do that. Let's go back to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, as soon as the season over, announced he was retiring. So that way Tampa Bay could move on from his spot. Yeah, he came back and all that, but he told them immediately afterwards. So as an organization, they could move in a different direction. Michael Thomas did not do that. He screwed you guys, man. Listen, wanting to get your money is fine. I get that. I'm not against no player getting their money. It's how you do business. And he screwed your organization, and you guys are still paying for it. You know, and now you're holding on to a guy who's now out again. But you're paying him, he's counting against your cap and all that, and, you know, that's your guys' problem. Chris Olave is a good player, but he's a rookie. Imagine that game would have been different if you had Michael Thomas. If Andy don't have somebody to throw to, you guys wouldn't have six losses.
The way I look at it, last night's thriller, you know, the score don't do it justice. The Saints was dangerous the whole way through. But the thing about it is, like I said, you know, you guys schematically came in, got the second best offensive line in the NFL, fast, strong, agile, quick. They can, even though we was keeping Lamar Jackson from going, you know, around the edge, when he broke up the middle, he was just as effective because of that offensive line and their run game, and Lamar Jackson being your second or third running back. I like the fact that you guys had a fullback. Most teams don't have a fullback anymore. Y'all fullback can actually run, catch, and block. I think that's number 42. And he was, you know, when y'all needed the first down, he was, you know, him and the other running back, the running back and the fullback, then Lamar Jackson. I mean, you know, y'all hit us in the mouth. Thing about it is the defense held, like I told my brother who was at the game. I said the defense held, D.C., as long as you couldn't do no better job against Lamar Jackson. Because technically, I mean, he put 14 points in there. Whether he ran the ball, you know, he threw the ball, he threw two and he ran one. But, I mean, I was expecting him to get at least 21 points. I was expecting that. But a turnover gets y'all another 7 points. But I was looking at if we could have scored at least another time, it could have been 27-20 easily. But we couldn't convert in the red zone. We could not convert in the red zone because that damn defense. And I just say, you know, I don't know if it's – you guys look like a Super Bowl contender. I don't know if it's the fact that you play the Saints because people come to New Orleans, they get healthy in New Orleans. They set records in New Orleans like last night, 100 career pass. Hate that happened there. Every time people play New Orleans and our down years, you come to New Orleans and we're going to get healthy this week. We're going to put some stats in the stat book this week. But I don't know if it's because it's us or if y'all just that damn good. And they're saying across the monitor, Jackson, 12 for 22, 133 passing yards and a touchdown in the 27-13 win over the Saints. Is it clear that the Ravens need to pay Lamar Jackson? Yeah, it's clear they need to pay Lamar Jackson because we actually made him play quarterback last night. Do you see, I told you he was going to have to participate in the game last night as a traditional quarterback. And to my surprise, he actually did it. But go ahead.
Yes, 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 he did. But the point is you guys wasn't as competitive as you could have been because you need a new quarterback. You need a new quarterback.
And everybody's injured. We got four injuries on both sides of the ball. Key injuries.
We got injuries too, but I'm not talking about injuries. I'm talking about how you guys fix your problems systemically as an organization. You need a new quarterback. You need to move on from both of them, Jameis and Andy Dalton. They both need to go.
We'd have ran a three-quarterback system last night. It was two options we had for quarterback last night. Either start Taysom Hill, because I said if you started Taysom Hill, he could have – everything that Lamar Jackson did, we should have had Taysom Hill on the field. Every time Lamar Jackson ran up the gut, Taysom Hill run up the gut. Every time Lamar Jackson – through downfield, we had to mimic everything with him. And if that didn't work, you could have just been rotating Taysom Hill out with Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton, go to a three-quarterback system. We had to have some kind of system to throw your defense off. But that damn defense is still tall. I got to give it to you. Y'all look like a Super Bowl
contender. Everybody knows that when Taysom Hill come in the game, it's a trick gadget one play. Everybody knows it. In fact, I was watching the game, and they flashed it on the screen, the percentage of run versus pass when Taysom Hill is behind center. He is not a quarterback for the NFL. You need to get rid of all of them bums and get you a rookie quarterback, period. Making the playoffs is not what you guys should aim for. You guys should just aim for playing out the season, evaluating the talent you have, and cutting guys that's not needed. Andy Dalton's not needed. Taysom Hill's not needed. And Jameis Winston is done in the NFL.
I frankly would have just rather stayed with Ian Book, to be honest with you. As our rookie, I would just rather stay with Ian Book, develop him. You know, Ian Book out of Notre Dame. Brian Kelly was his coach at Notre Dame, who was a quarterback coach. So mentally, I believe his IQ is good enough. They just didn't give him a chance. I think they traded him, or I don't know if he on the practice squad. I don't know, but I would have rather just develop Ian Book, you know, and just stuck with him. And maybe had Taysom Hill in a backup role. I don't know. But, you know, we screwed. We're in third place. You know, the Rams let us down. I mean, sorry, who was that? Yeah, the Rams let us down against the Bucks, and then the doggone, but the Chargers did their job, but it wasn't enough. We needed help. We needed help from those teams. They let us down, and then, so now we stuck at third place because it was a toss-up whether we was going to win this game last night in this thriller, and it was a thriller. You may not say it was a thriller, but the Saints was dangerous the whole time. It was a thriller.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I mean, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I mean, the score doesn't do the game any justice.
The Ravens, the players were interviewed, and they felt as though that they could have had a shutout if they wanted. Your touchdown was on a fluke play because the safety didn't touch the guy and push him out of bounds. He could have, and that would have saved the touchdown. But the point of the story is the Ravens are suspect in the fourth quarter, and so you guys were not out of the game at any one point, but the defense was stifling for you guys offensively. But the point of the story is,
couldn't get off the
field. The point of the story is you guys' weakness was glaring last night. It's not defensively. Your weakness is offensively. You guys don't have the right quarterback.
I guess I have to concede to that. I guess I have to just bottom line concede to that. in NBA.
But I'm not gonna beat you over the head because I already told you how the game was gonna go. We had I predicted 3 sacks. We had 4. Right. I told you likely would step up the tight end, the rookie tight end. He did. He caught the touchdown pass, right? So he did step up. And so, you know, you guys did contain Lamar like you want. Statistically, Lamar had a horrible game. So, therefore, you guys proved that you did what you said they were going to do. So your sources in New Orleans was correct. But it didn't matter, right? Justin Tucker was a weapon. When our drive stalled, when Lamar didn't follow through and make the easy throw or whatever, that could have either created a touchdown or kept the drive going. Justin Tucker came out there and we put points on the board regardless.
Y'all was a complete team, and y'all was a complete team. I think we did get to Lamar Jackson a couple times. I think we did, got 2 sacks on him, I think, if I'm remembering correct. 2 or 4. I can't remember. I mean, like I said, defense can only stay on the field so long. Y'all run game with the ability to continue to make first downs, the ability to make first downs at will. Y'all kept our defense out there. You know, and then I looked at the clock. Every time I look up, y'all ate up half the quarter. It's like y'all was like, no, Dalton, we're not letting their offense play. We're not letting them play. They're not going to be able to play tonight. I mean, I can't do it but tip my hat to you.
Well, thank you. It takes a big man to come on internationally broadcast radio station and admit he was wrong. And, you know, I'm just letting you know, get used to it. Right, get used to it. Right, you know. So just put humility in your vocabulary, because you're gonna be eating your words on a lot of Mondays coming up here. Right.
I want to ask you this here. I've done a lot of posting last night during the broad pregame and during the show, and I sent you a lot of my live stand ups. Did you see any of that last night? Did you see the raw emotion that I did.
I clicked on a couple and I cracked up laughing. I love the morning one.
What would you laugh at?
You know, because it was hilarious. Because I'm letting you know, we as fans, we are emotional about our teams. But a lot of times what we don't do is look at things objectively. And objectively, I'm saying the problem with your team is at the quarterback position. It's not the running back. It's not the offensive line. It's not the defensive line. It's not your secondary. Your problem is at quarterback. Cincinnati last year proved, the Chargers proved that a quarterback can make all the difference in the world, and it's true. Right, the head of the organization, no matter what the organization is, sets the tone for the organization. And so on that field for the offense, it is the quarterback. You know, making the proper throws, making the proper adjustments at the line of scrimmage and audibles, stepping up in the pocket, throwing the ball away to avoid a sack. We had 4 sacks last night. If Andy Dalton had threw the ball away a couple of times, it would not have been 4 sacks last night. And so I say that to say, you guys just don't have a good quarterback. Remember Jameis Winston was with Tampa Bay, and he led the league in touchdowns, but he also led the league in interceptions thrown. Tom Brady coming in, that exact same team wins the Super Bowl. All they did was change the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, IQ. IQ means a lot. IQ means a lot. We got a lot of good quarterbacks coming up in the draft, though. We can, you know, we maybe get that kid from Ohio State. But he ain't going to be around for the third round. I think we got 3rd round picks. he probably won't be on the board for the third round. But if we can get a good solid FCS quarterback, you know, maybe somebody out like North Dakota State, South Dakota State, somewhere like that, you know, good FCS playoff school, and get him in there and develop him, maybe we might be all right. Maybe we'll find another Carson Wentz. We'll figure it out.
I don't want you to see this season as a loss of a season. I want you to realize that you guys don't have a quarterback and that you just need to play all the other players, see what talent you actually do have, and then move on at the quarterback position. You know,
yeah.
And think about
Think
about how many teams shuffled to find that guy for years. The Ravens is a perfect example of a team who just did not have the right quarterback for years. They had a killer defense for years. They won a defense with Trent Dilfer, who's arguably a game manager, right? And
even though
they won the Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer, they moved on from him immediately at the end of the season because they realized he wasn't the guy they needed long term. And they brought in Elvis Gerbach, and it made no difference. Elvis Gerbach was not the quarterback they needed, and they struggled for years to find that guy. And then they found Flacco. And then Flacco took them to the playoffs, AFC Championship game. Remember, his first 5 years with the Ravens, they constantly went. They went to the playoffs every single year. They won a Super Bowl his fifth year in the league, and all they did was get a quarterback. As soon as Joe Flacco started his first preseason game, Kyle Bowler immediately put his house on the market and left Maryland. He knew he was done, and that's what I'm saying. The quarterback position is that essential in the National Football League, and that's what you guys need. You know, you just got to move on from the quarterback.
Let me move on to some other NFL notes. What do you think about this firing of in Indianapolis, firing Rice and then bringing in Jeff Saturday, and then all the media experts right now are crying bloody murder because they're saying that, well, you know, look how many black coaches that are out there that could have been elevated to that position, even black coaches on the staff. Why is this turning into a racial thing, and is it justified to turn into a racial thing but rather than just saying that, hey, Jeff Saturday is a Hall of Famer, if I'm correct. If he not, probably will be. He's got a lot of experience, especially, you know, I mean, he's a Pro Bowler. And, I mean, you know, he's been a consultant for the team. So why is this hiring of Jeff Saturday? Why everybody crying bloody murder?
I'm glad you asked me that. I've been wanting to weigh in on this for a few days now. So thank you for asking me. Number one, understand the purpose of the Rooney Rule. I love the Rooney Rule. And I personally want every team to follow the Rooney Rule. And not just as a checklist, but as a legitimate, okay, let's evaluate this guy and really see if he can be the leader we're looking for. And so I want to just say all of that. Number one. Number two, I am African-American, in case your readers are not, your listeners are not sure of my ethnic background. I am African-American. So I 100% support the Rooney Rule. Now, with all that being said, here's my perspective. Number one, the Rooney Rule is not required and if you make an in-season, mid-season fire. If an owner fires a head coach week one, right, the Rooney Rule doesn't apply because he can make a change immediately and he doesn't have to solicit this panel and all of this. So I'm totally okay with that from that perspective. The other perspective is I heard what the owner said of Jim Irsay of why he may pick Jeff Saturday. He has some valid points. Number one, Jeff Saturday, as you said, is a football player. He has a prestigious record, and he does know the game. Being a previous coach is not necessarily a requirement to be a head coach. He's not a position coach. So you don't need to get out there and tell tight ends how to block or how to tell defensive ends how to get around the corner on a guy. That's not what the head coach does. Also, and here's the other piece. If you own a company, if you own a business, you have the right as a business owner to make any moves and changes you want within your organization. It's your organization.
Can I chime in for 1 second based on what you just said?
Sure.
I'm glad you said that because that's exactly why I asked you the question, and it's exactly what I was thinking when I saw what Jim Irsay was saying. I'm like, what the hell are these people talking about? He's the owner of his team. He can do whatever he wants to do. But go ahead, sir.
Yes, and so because that, he doesn't know anybody in the explanation, honestly. And so Jeff Saturday being in a position is just that. The other thing Jim Irsay said is, listen, a lot of these coaches now are going with analytics. They're afraid to make a decision because of the numbers, the analytics. Now, I agree that analytics is a relevant part to pro sports. I'm not running from analytics. I think it's valuable. It's valuable as a decision tool. It helps you make decisions, but it is not the number one thing to make a decision. And I think why Jim Irsay went away from Frank Wright is because every time he went to Frank Wright and said, why are you doing this, that, and the third, Frank White said, boss, I don't want to do it, but the numbers say that was the smart move. Sometimes you got to go with your gut. Sometimes you got to go with what you see and know, okay, while the analytics say do this, that's not my gut. And so I'm saying I'm okay with what Irsay did. I think Jeff Saturday is going to have positive results in Indianapolis. They're not going to make the playoffs because the AFC is just too stacked. But they're going to have positive results with him there. And the fact that he's never coached on any level is irrelevant because the guy has, as you stated, a long and successful NFL career. He did. You know, Peyton Manning Peyton Manning had his hand up Jeff Saturday's ass for 20 years.
Yeah.
Right?
No doubt. So
the dude is qualified to walk on the football field, to walk in the locker room, and talk to players about the NFL. But the other thing is that as a head coach, your job is to make sure that everybody is doing what they're supposed to do. So your job is to get on the offensive coordinator. Your job is to get on the defensive coordinator. Your job is to make sure that we're preparing the right game plan for whatever we need, right? And so I'm totally okay with it, right?
Yeah, me too.
I'm totally okay
with it. Any day because the offensive lineman is the most sought-out position to build your team. You got to have a great offensive line. It don't matter about skill position. You ain't got an offensive line, you can forget it on offense. And offensive lineman, you know, they're, you know, the center. He's looking out, reading the defense, telling everybody this is what the defense is, this is the coverage. Boom. Then they snap the ball. Then you got to know how to run block. You got to know how to doggone pass block. So Jeff Saturday, knowing all this and being a center for arguably one of the probably the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Peyton Manning. I mean, they call the man the sheriff for a reason. So, I mean, I'm looking at it like this. Well, I mean, the time's Tom Brady. Can't forget about Brady. But Manning is right up there. He's in the Mount Rushmore quarterbacks. So I feel like it's a good hire because Jeff Saturday can come in there and be like, if this offensive line sucks, we're getting rid of these guys. We're getting more offensive linemen in the draft. We're getting rid of these guys. They suck because I know the position. I know how to run. I know how offense is supposed to be ran. Then everybody else, like you said, team manager. I'm the team manager of all coaches. Hey, If you can't get your squad together, I'm getting you out of here and bringing in somebody else. I get it. I think it's a good hire.
Yeah, I do too. I think he'll be just fine. You know, this team has talent. They don't run the ball. They got arguably the best running back in the league, right? You could argue Jonathan Taylor, old boy for Tennessee, and Nick Chubb are the top three running backs in the game. And Jonathan Taylor has not done anything this year. And so you have to look at the coaching. And, I liken it to, I tease the Cowboys fans a lot. But what I love about Jerry Jones is he wants to win, and he will pay whatever costs to win. He'll pick up any player. He'll take a chance on a guy with off-the-field issues. He doesn't care. Are you going to win? Can you produce if I put you on this field? If so, I don't care if you slap your girlfriend around Saturday night, because I don't care. I care what you're going to do Sunday when you get on that field. So I totally agree with it. I think, go for it,
Speaking of picking up a player, how likely are you guys going to throw y'all hat in the ring for Odell Beckham? How does Odell Beckham fit in the end of the Baltimore Ravens salary cap? How does Odell Beckham fit as a weapon for y'all team, for a team that's trying to make a Super Bowl push? Go ahead, sir.
I think the Ravens have cautious optimism, which I think is smart. OBJ obviously is a great talent. He's a good athlete. He's a better athlete than he is a receiver. But you don't want to bring in all these vets and stifle your youth. They brought in James Proche, and he played well. And so I wonder if they're going to pick them up. I think they'll make an offer. I think they'll work them out. But I don't know if they would bring them on. We don't need another locker room distraction. And OBJ's father, when he was with Cleveland, proved that he can be a locker room distraction. So I don't know. If I was Steve Bisciotti, I would honestly just ride with DeSean Jackson. I don't know if I'd grab OBJ. If I were the owner of the Ravens, I would let the general manager discuss it with me and bring him in for a workout.
How does it look if Dallas picks up OBJ? How does it change the dynamic for Dallas' offense?
It will be a good move for them because they're competing against Philly. If you're the Ravens, look at your schedule for the rest of the year. You got the Carolina Panthers, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Denver Broncos. All those teams you could probably beat without OBJ. Steelers. You could beat the Steelers. The Browns, the week that the Ravens play the Browns is the week that Deshaun Watson is supposed to come back. It's supposed to be his first game back, right? He's going to be rusty. The Falcons, we have after that Christmas Eve. We don't need OBJ to beat Atlanta. Then we got the Steelers on New Year's Day. And then we end the season with Cincinnati. The game against Cincinnati, even if we lost to them, may not make a difference when it comes to the division or the playoffs by then. You could argue that the Ravens may not lose a game for the rest of the season. So even if you had to play Cincinnati as the last game of the season at 13-3, even if you lost that game, and finish the season 13-4, it wouldn't matter, right? You're going to playoffs, and you're going to do damage. So the argument is, do you really need OBJ? I don't think so. If he came in and said, I promise myself nor my dad will be a distraction, I will sign for veterans minimum, then sure. But if he wants, you know, $10 million and he's not going to promise me that his dad's not going to be on social media, you know, I wouldn't do it.
Okay. You got Mike McCarthy head back to Green Bay this weekend. A lot of the media experts are wondering if the Cowboys gonna look out for their coach and get a big win, because you know back in 2018 I believe it was Aaron Rodgers pretty much just said McCarthy was out. You know, which kind of befuddles me. How does a player have that much latitude in the front office to just say he's out? You know, but anyway, he got fired. He's been in Dallas now, I guess about two or three years now. And it's like he's going back to Green Bay, to Lambeau, to try to get a win. But the problem is you got Dallas, who arguably, you know, pretty much Dallas, the weather out there is pretty much all the time about 65, 70 back and forth, you know, in the wintertime. You know, you got, you know, then some days it's really cold, but it ain't Lambeau cold. So my whole thing is Mike McCarthy going to be able to go out there with his Dallas hot weather team and make an impact this Sunday against Green Bay, because they got the Cowboys -5 in the game. But what are your thoughts on that?
Dallas is going to slaughter Green Bay. It's not even going to be close. Dallas is going to slaughter Green Bay. I'm talking like 35-10.
But they said the same thing about Buffalo. Buffalo didn't slaughter.
That's true. That's true. But Dallas is going to slaughter the Green Bay. While they lost to Buffalo, they lost. It was only 10-point difference, right? It was only a two-score game. But pretty much manhandled. I mean, you know, Green Bay kept it interesting. They didn't roll over. But it's not going to be close. This is the same team that lost to the Lions. They barely squeaked by Tampa Bay. They barely beat New England, right? When they play y'all, they don't play y'all. Thank goodness, because if they did, y'all would beat them so bad that y'all would think that y'all do have the answer at quarterback. That's how bad Green Bay is. I'll tell you this, the Green Bay game against the Bears is going to be, in December, is going to be a loss for Green Bay, because Justin Fields has now, they took the cuffs off that kid, and he is balling for them. He's doing exactly what they drafted him to do, and he's finally playing like you knew he was capable of doing.
And he got Green Bay is going.
Yep, Green Bay is, and the tight end is nice, Kemet. Green Bay is done, you know. You guys got a chance, an outside shot to still make the playoffs. For your sake, I don't want you to make the playoffs. I think you guys would do better without making the playoffs long term. And you look at this, Green Bay is behind you in the standings. There's no way they're going to beat Dallas.
That ain't saying much.
Green Bay is behind the Saints and the standings. Right? So, that's huge. Right? That's huge.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to segue over to some NBA action. I saw on the monitor that the Knicks won last night against a good Timberwolves team. What was the reason why they was able to pull that game out? And at the same time, Julius Randle had 31 points. He's on the stats. He's putting up 31 points. Go ahead, sir.
He did. In fact, it was the three-point shot that turned out to be the difference, along with the turnovers by Minnesota. I did watch that game. I set it to record so that after I watched the Saints get slaughtered, I wanted to shift over and watch that game, and I did. And so I saw it, Julius Randle. But, you know, I still want to trade Julius Randle. There's talk that the Lakers are open to trading Anthony Davis. Honestly, I would trade Julius Randle for Anthony Davis.
Does that trade make sense, though, for the Lakers? I mean, how does that make sense for the Lakers?
Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does, because Julius Randle can play the four. He can play the five in stretches. He can play alongside LeBron. And it gets Anthony Davis out of there. I would take an injured Anthony Davis, knowing he's only going to play 30% of New York Knicks games, over Julius Randle.
But that's going to be a cap hit for y'all. Like, y'all can't get him because y'all over the cap.
Yeah, well, both of them make substantial money, so the trade would be almost even financially. Right? I mean, you know, Anthony Davis has a high salary, but so does Julius Randle. You know.
Okay.
I would
have to pay a luxury tax.
Well, New York doesn't have a problem with paying a luxury tax just because of the market.
The money.
Right. They don't care about that. I mean, Anthony Davis is slated to make $37 million this year. Right. And Julius Randle, I believe, is at $20 million. But if you put Julius Randle and Fournier in a deal, that should match up salary cap wise. All right, Julius Randle slated to make $23 million this year. So if you traded Randle and Fournier for Davis, that would work out. It would work out for all the players. Fournier, it would work out for him because he's a jump shooter and he would have enough spacing with LeBron on the court. And the Lakers' problem is shooting, right? And then, of course, for Anthony Davis, you know, he would be the unquestioned leader of the team. But it would definitely work out for both franchises. New York could literally, again, Anthony Davis could play 30 games and it would make a huge difference for us over Randle.
Yeah, and who's that? Brunson? He had a good game last night.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Knicks look great. We're not a bum team, but we are a mediocre team in the big picture. We're only 500. And we are a mediocre team. Julius Randle is not that guy. So I would make the trade because he's not that guy. New York does not have and your boy AB said it. New York does not have that guy that is the difference maker on offense. We got young talent, you know, RJ Barrett. Cam Reddish has proven to be solid. Yeah, we got talent, but we don't have that guy. AD would be that guy, and even if he only played, again, even if he played half the season, he would make the difference for us. In the East, he'd make the difference.
Well, let me chime in here for 1 second. Stand by, because I got two more questions for you while you're still here. This is the Stokes and Beer Radio Show with your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokes and Beer Radio Show, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. Right now, we got our number one show contributor, DC, on the line, talking all things NFL, NBA. And our topic for today is Saints fall in the Monday Night Football thriller to the Ravens. We already covered that, enough of that. But with the Lakers, DC, it's saying that fell last night to the Utah Jazz. LeBron James was out with a sore foot. Somebody stepped on his foot the other night. So then that last night it was AD and Russell Westbrook. So now you got Russell could do what he wanted to do. AD's on the court. Why the hell did they get beat by the Clippers, by the Jazz? This is just a better team, and it was a blowout, 139 to 116. Darvin Ham is saying, turning the corner is not always, you know, they trying to turn the corner is not always going to be like this. But we believe that the Lakers can turn it around. Go ahead.
They cannot. In the West, they just cannot. The West is is clearly the stronger conference. You got too many ballers out there, even Golden State struggling. The West is just too deep of a conference. The Lakers cannot rebound. They're not going to be able to make this up. I don't care if you take 5 years off of all their talented players, they would not make it up. They don't fit. Their lineup just doesn't fit. It's clunky. They got too many ball-dominant players. You know, Westbrook doesn't want to accept a lower role. And they, you know, LeBron is worried about doing AT&T and beat commercials and directing movies than he is playing. So they need to move on. They need to move on from AD. I'm telling you, the trade for Randle would be sweet. If they took Randle and Fournier and we took AD, that would be a huge thing. And again, I know AD is brittle. I know he's going to always get hurt. It doesn't matter because New York has a lot of young players right behind them. You think if AD is injured, that's more time for Obi Toppin. So
what teams in the East can the Lakers compete with? You know, just throwing that at you. What teams right now, the top teams in the East, can they compete with the Lakers? I'm talking about literally compete with and win.
Absolutely none. The Lakers, as they're presently constructed, are just a bomb. Or I guess they could compete with Brooklyn because the Nets, you know, while they have KD and they have Ben Simmons, they're garbage. So I guess if Brooklyn and the Lakers play, that'd be a good game to watch it because they're both bum teams together, right? But any team with substance, no way. Lakers couldn't handle the Bucks, the Cavaliers, the Celtics, the Hawks, the Raptors. Maybe without Siakam, they might have a chance to squeak a game out. But they're not there. They're a bottom tier team, you know.
Switching over to the East. Last night, I seen that KD couldn't sink his three shots. I know he missed like one of the two or two of the three, but they fell
on purpose,
short.
Yeah.
I forgot exactly who they lost to, but what's going on with KD? And then they're saying he might ask for a trade mid-season, I guess around the All-Star break time. He might just go ahead and tell Josiah and Sean Mark or whoever the heck that up the GM is, you know, hey, man, you know, I want out. I want out. What do you think?
Yeah, the issue is Ben Simmons. I mean, Ben Simmons is just, again, another guy who's got talent to get there but not good enough to elevate his game to stay. Ben Simmons is on his way out, as is Kyrie, because you talent alone, think of all the guys who is just as talented that don't come with the issues and the baggage. I mean, is Ben Simmons really the only 6'10 point guard that can ball?
No.
Everybody knows the answer to that is no, right? You're not going to keep paying a guy all these millions to sit on the bench and street clothes and claim mental health problems and get on the court and people damn
lay
an egg. Go ahead and shoot. Right. They already know what you're good at, right? Too much scouting, too much analytics, and these guys are talented. You know, the NBA is the top 300 players in the world. These guys are talented. There's guys in the G League right now that can do what a lot of these pros can do, and they'll take less money, right? If you're poor, you'll do a job for $1 million instead of $30 million, right? I mean, you know, $1 million to you, yeah, that'll change your family. You'll take $1 million, right? You're not going to hold out for more money.
Right, right. Last question for you. Speaking of money, since you brought up money, I'm going to ask you to see and get you out of here because we're nearing towards the end of the show. But comment on this here for me real quick. The experts are saying in college, this is a college course, in NCAA, football mainly. These kids are getting these NIL deal, name, image, likeness deal. And I saw on Twitter a rapper, you may know who I'm talking about, Yo Gotti. Yo Gotti has this this young man signed to CMG. I think that's probably a label that's part of Cash Money, I think. But they got a kid over there. And on the video, they had him just basically popping out bands, I mean, rubber band banks to this kid. Like, I'm talking about at least about $250,000, somewhere up in there, you know, quarter mil NIL deal. First of all, I'm like, I'm not investing that much in no kid. That may get hurt or may not make it, but I mean, you know, if you got the money, I guess you spend it. So it goes to these rappers, these entertainers starting these sports companies, so they got this massive amount of loot. They're pretty much it, you know, getting into the market, knocking a lot of these different agencies and agents out of the mix, because they got the money to sign these kids. Is the NIL deal making these kids less hungry? Because, I mean, how the hell a kid going to go out there and want to perform every day when he pretty much, you can pay me more money than I ever seen in my life? What do you think about that?
Now I agree with your theory, because a lot of kids was hungry and they made decisions to get to the pot of gold. And a lot of kids now, if they're getting the pot of gold early, they're going to just use that and cash out. But I see it as a good mechanism, because it's going to weed out who really loves the game and who's going to do something to protect the pro franchises later on. Guys like Ben Simmons would have never made the NBA if he took the NIL deals. He would have took that money and he would have been satisfied. Guys like Kyrie Irving, same thing, right? You got to want to be a pro. You got to want to win a ring. You know, how many NBA players take the cash and move on? I'll give you an example. Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, now you can make arguments. You can make arguments. I'm going to give you an argument for Bradley Beal's decision, and I'm going to give you some arguments against his decision. Now, Bradley Beal stayed with the Wizards, a handsome deal. He took the money. He got his bag. But he knew that getting his bag meant the Wizards would probably never win a title due to salary cap. And he knew that his salary was so big, he's probably never going to get traded. He's going to finish his career as a Washington Wizard. But he didn't turn down the money. He said, I'd rather have the money than the ring. Right? Carmelo Anthony,
right.
Same thing. Right? Carmelo forced the Knicks to make that trade with Denver. The Knicks gave up so many pieces for Carmelo, it wasn't even funny. When they gave up all the pieces and he came to the Knicks, they wasn't going to win, because they had nobody for him to pass the ball to. Even if he scored 50 points, it was just going to be him and a bunch of bums, right? If he had just waited till the end of the season, he could have came to the Knicks anyway, and they could have kept some of the talent they had around them to help him out, right? But because he forced the trade, Denver said, well, you got to give up your pieces, New York, and we did. And look at where it got us. And Melo got paid, but we still got no ring, right? LeBron, for all the stuff you can say about LeBron, he has delivered titles. Now, you could argue, well, he had the super team, but not always, right? He didn't always – every championship LeBron got, and I don't like to support LeBron, but in defense of LeBron, every title he got was not a result of a super team, right? Not every title, right? But I'm saying Melo is never going to have a ring, but he got that money. And so that's what I'm saying. What is more important to you as a player? Is it winning the ring, cementing your legacy, or just getting the bag? So these athletes that want to get their money as NIL, I understand that. I would too. But I wouldn't let that stop me from moving forward. But a lot of these guys are. They're going to get the money. They're not going to work on their game. And they're going to ride off in the sunset as, you know, well, I got rich and went off the NIL deal, but I never made it to the pros, or I never did that. this, that, and the third one.
It's going to answer the questions for the pros at the top, because the scouts are going to be like, as they keep evaluating kids, well, you was hungry when you didn't have the money, but once you signed the NIL deal, look, your production went down. You got lazy. Matter of fact, you might have started splitting time with somebody else because your production went down. That's going to make it easier for them to identify, well, this just ain't a NFL talent, because what's going to happen is, like you said, the pros that are here now, football, baseball, basketball, once you get the bag, if you get the bag, and then it's going to be the same result. Once we pay you in the NFL, when you come off your rookie contract and we give you your actual contract, you're going to quit because, I already got my contract now. You know, you're not going to be a Lamar Jackson who, you know, playing on his rookie deal, this, that, and other, negotiating extensions, and still holding out for his money. But he's doing what? Still productive. He's still winning. But I'll let you go ahead and comment to that, and I'll let you close out and get out of here.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But, you know, it's a way to weed out people. And remember, you know, what I have come to learn is, and I read this book, and the name escapes me of the book and the author, but the author said in the book, he said, if you give someone poor $1 million and you give someone rich $1 million, in 5 years, the poor guy is going to still be poor and he won't have the millions, and the wealthy guy will have made that money double at a minimum. And the reason is because of habits. Poor people have poor habits. I really quickly before we end your show, someone made a comment on Facebook about Kanye West, Yee, saying when he made the statement that racism is gone, and they were like, that guy's a fool. And I understood what that person was saying, but I understood Kanye West, Yee's perspective. Kanye West is saying systemic racism is over. You know, in the 50s, no matter how good of a person you was, racism stopped you from moving, right? You couldn't get a passport. You couldn't get a job. You couldn't move into a different position. You couldn't start a business. You couldn't vote, right? Systemic racism shut you down. Now, that's not there. Is racism still exist in America? Absolutely. But it's not nowhere near on the level it was systemically. It is now, right? Back then, it was systemically. It was there everywhere you moved. You couldn't even live in certain parts of town, right? You couldn't buy a house. Now, Wells Fargo has admitted, and how many times has Wells Fargo been in the news for denying someone, African-American, a home loan? Okay. Just don't try to get a home loan with Wells Fargo. If you're African-American, you already know they got a history of it. There's other lenders out here. It doesn't stop me from owning a home. I own three houses. I own three homes.
Right.
So for someone to say there's still, you know, I can't buy a home because of the racist market, I'm going to say you're lying, because guess what? You don't have to use Wells Fargo. There are other lenders. There are other methods to get a home. You can buy a home tomorrow if you want to. You're a veteran, right? Yeah, VA home loan, no money down. That's right. So to say systemically that racism still exists would be an untrue statement. To say racism still exists on the individual level, sure, absolutely. But it ain't never going to go anywhere. It's never going to go anywhere. That's right. But that doesn't stop you from moving. Now, let's take Kanye West. People say that this guy is a fool for making those. But is he really? He grew up in the hood. Everybody knows he grew up as an only child in a single-parent household, because everybody says that once his mother died, he lost all common sense, right? So we know that he grew up poor and single and a product of a single-parent environment. But he did become a billionaire. Forbes says he lost some deals, and so now he's not a billionaire. He did become a billionaire, okay? And he's going to get back there. You know why? Because he's got that wealthy mindset. Going back to Freddie Gray, right? Freddie Gray's family, got all that money when he died. They never left the projects. Never left the projects. To this
you
day,
call it
his
hood rich.
Quote,
you call it
they
hood
never
rich.
Left the. They got millions, right? They got millions from him dying. The whole country catered to that family because he died. And trust me, he didn't deserve to die. I'm not touching any of that because he didn't. But the family, trying to, quote, keep it real, never left the hood. And now they're all broke. So now what happened to his legacy? What happened to his legacy? He died essentially for nothing because his family didn't come
right.
up. They still in the hood. They still in the
right.
hood. And so that's my
exactly.
point. My point is a millionaire mindset will overcome anything else. And that's why Kanye doesn't believe that systemic racism exists anymore. He just didn't articulate it correctly. Racism does exist, but not systemic racism. And his argument is he's living proof. He's saying you can go up from the hood, single parent household, to becoming a billionaire, right? But now he's not a billionaire, but he's still a millionaire. Come on, cut it out, right? So
yeah,
he's
living a whole lot better than you and I.
If he lost, right, he lost $40 million because of whatever statements he made. Okay, so now he's only worth $60 million. Yeah, okay, right. So that's
yeah.
my point. I'm saying you're gonna do something, and people who vilify him. Remember, he was the same guy who said George Bush don't like black people when Katrina happened, right? That
right.
was the same dude. He was the same dude that the African-American community was behind when he made that statement. And now the African-American community vilifies this guy, right?
That's how we do.
That's right. So I bring that up because the point I'm driving at is, right, if you want to be wealthy, you can. You just have to change your mindset and do the things that it takes to get there. You can't. Billionaires don't watch television. If you Google what TV shows do wealthy people watch, you're not going to find it. They don't watch TV like that. They read books. They look at the news a little bit, but they're working. They're not stopping all work to tune into their 8 o'clock America's Got Talent show. They're not watching that silly stuff, right? And that's why they wear that. They have the habits. It's the habits. Pro athletes who want to be successful have to have the habits that will bring them success.
Got you. Well, I want to thank you, man, for being on the show.
I'm going to let you go so you can wrap up the show. And notice I ain't want to beat you up too bad. I know how it is when your team loses. It stings a little bit. You ain't going to be right till Wednesday, Thursday. I know. Right? I understand.
That.
I understand. but I knew them bums wasn't going to do anything anyway.
Nah, I hear you. I hear you. I take that. All right, man.
Yep.
Have a good day, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yep.
Yes, yes. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Bit Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Time on deck is 9:56 a.m. It is raining on and off and cloudy and sunny in normally sunny San Diego, California. That was our number one sports contributor to the show, DC out of Maryland, calling in, talking all things NFL and NBA today, mainly calling in to kind of rub it in on me a little bit. He could have been more harsh, but he didn't go in too hard on me because my Saints lost to his Ravens last night. But anyway, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get ready to close the show out. I want everybody to remember to be light, not darkness, love, not hate. There's only one race, that's the human race. Pray for Brittany Griner that she has a safe return home any day now. At the same time, pray for the people in Ukraine that this war ends any day now. And this has been your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you'd like to call in, the Stogies and Beer, the call-in line is 515-602-9687. With that being said, everybody stay safe out there. Make sure you take your boosters for your COVID-19. Make sure you stay safe from monkeypox. Remember to keep your mask on. It is cold and flu season. COVID-19 is still out there. So just keep yourself safe, keep yourself healthy, and have a great day. And we'll see you in the morning. Set black, fade off.